Welcome to Insider Profile. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network, the latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com.
The field of interface design is perched on the edge of evolving into a serious, fully realized artistic cultural form, closer in a lot of ways to architecture or to the novel or to painting than to, say, programming.
Stephen Johnson is editor-in-chief and co-founder of Feed Magazine. He has a semiotics degree from Brown and a master's in English Lit from Columbia. And he's written a book, Interface Culture. In it, he contends that what the cathedral was to the Middle Ages, what perspective and painting was to the Renaissance, what the novel was to Victorian England, the computer interface is to the 90s. I had him start by reading the conclusion of his new book, Interface Culture.
The interface came into the world under the cloak of efficiency, and it is now emerging chrysalis style as a genuine art form. All this in less than half a century of innovation. Who can tell what awaits us in the next 50 years? The religious analogy seems less rhetorical when measured against that scale. Even today, there's an undeniably enchanted quality to the icons on our screens, like a crucifix or the lives of the saints. We can't predict how far that enchantment will extend itself in the next century, but its potential scope should not be underestimated. Our interfaces are stories we tell ourselves to ward off the senselessness, memory palaces built out of silicon and light. They will continue to change the way we imagine information, and in doing so, they are bound to change us as well, for the better and for the worse. How could it be otherwise?
Summarize the thesis of your book for me.
The central premise is that the interfaces that we use on our computer screens today, the icons and menu bars and windows and desktops that make up the modern graphic interface, the field of interface design, which is obviously an important part of the computer world, already, is perched on the edge of becoming, of evolving into a serious, fully realized artistic cultural form, closer in a lot of ways to architecture or to the novel or to painting than to, say, programming. And that part of the problem is that we're at such an early stage in the evolution of this form that it's really hard to imagine it taking on as rich and as complex a shape as that. And in a lot of ways, we're kind of like where we were in 1902 with film, and that the people who were making films were largely kind of engineers who were tinkering around with this new thing, and people thought it was fun and entertaining, and maybe we'd learn a little bit about how the body moves in slow motion from these new devices, and they might show up in an amusement hall somewhere. But the idea that it would grow into something capable of producing Citizen Kane or Battleship Potemkin was still not possible to see. But the interfaces kind of perch at a similar point, and as more and more of our computers become attached to the internet and have to face the incredibly daunting task of representing all the information out on the net, the tools that we use to represent that information, our interfaces, are going to become increasingly important.
Do you think the internet interface and the computer desktop interface need to be the same, or do they perform different functions and should they be different?
At Feed, a reader just wrote in making this point, which I thought was very smart, that, you know, the evidence does kind of suggest with the internet as it's evolving that William Gibson's vision of what cyberspace was going to look like, where we'd kind of be flying through these virtual worlds and information would take the form of buildings and clouds and we would kind of point at various different things. This has been kind of the holy grail that we've all been kind of searching for. But that doesn't really seem to be happening, does it? I mean, really what's happening is that so much of navigating through the massive amounts of information on the internet really takes place through text. We have this strange kind of return to how can I create a really complicated search? How can I use elaborate kind of pattern matching tools to figure out what information I'm looking for? How can I figure out, you know, show a search engine one article and say, find me other articles like that? All these things are really the most effective ways to navigate through huge repositories of information, much more effective than an actual kind of physical map. The analogy that I use for this, trying to explain the importance of text, we have an assumption because of the success of the graphic interface, the desktop interface, that anything that's visual, anything that's graphic, is better by default than things that are text-based. And that may well be true when dealing with a certain kind of finite amount of information. But once you start getting into the huge you know, massive amounts of things on the net, text may do it better. And, you know, when you walk into a library, you actually have a wonderful 3D rendered version of that library's information, which are the stacks of books that you can actually walk through. But you'd much rather use an electronic card catalog search with just typing in a bunch of letters and keystrokes. That's a much more efficient way to get through all that information, even though there's a wonderful 3D model there that you can walk through and you don't even need the virtual reality goggles to do it.
Tell me about your first computer.
My first computer technically was an Apple IIe that my parents got me, or got all the kids in the family, which had astonishing 32K of RAM, which is very excessive and made all that, you know, Asteroids playing. But I got that when I was 14 or something like that. And what's interesting to me about that whole period, looking back, is that I used that computer for 4 years all the way through high school. I knew how to use it. I wasn't afraid of it. I'd done a little bit of basic, you know, programming, and, you know, I was perfectly confident and competent with it. But I didn't really get interested in the machine itself. In fact, I even, near the end of kind of my senior year, I went back and started using kind of a souped-up Brother electronic typewriter because I thought that it had better kind of typefaces. And I didn't really write directly on it. I had to write things by hand and everything. But all of that really changed when I got to college and got my first Mac, got a Mac Plus, and I just fell in love with that machine, as so many people did. And I just wanted to, you know, figure out all the things that it could do. And so I started, you know, kind of exploring. It was 86, so PageMaker had just come out and the laser printer had just come out. And so I started kind of exploring all of those things. And that's really what, it was really that initial, you know, kind of interface that got me hooked and got started this whole long obsession with the computer.
Your first time on the internet, and did it strike you at that moment as something wonderful?
I do remember, not quite the first time I got on the web, but one of the first experiences was going, and I mentioned this in the book, going to this, the web roulette wheel or something like that, which was this kind of great site, very kind of early web page where you clicked on this little wheel and it spun you out to a random address from its database. You know, it struck me at the time as just this completely magical thing. I mean, I would make up these little games where I would spin myself out somewhere and then just follow links in a kind of improvisational way until I found some interesting information that I hadn't thought about before. And I was kind of testing myself to see how long it would take to get to it.
You've been listening to Insider Profile. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.